Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, or welcome to Gardening Naturally. Looks to be an okay day, but we got some serious rain look for tonight. And even more tomorrow. Keep an eye out, folks. They'll be discussing flash flood warnings. That's how much rain we're looking at getting. And while we need every drop, we don't need it all at once. All right? We are still behind. I mean, we are ahead like an inch, maybe an inch for the year. Now, fortunately, May is statistically our wettest month. So maybe we can catch up, maybe, and get the lakes filled back up. Where the rain has been falling, especially the quantity of rain, it looks like we may get some lake fill here. Let's go to the phone. This is Scott. Scott, what can I help you with?
Hey, Jeff, I sent you some pictures. The first two are of a pear tree. And it's my neighbor's. Do you know what's wrong with that? That's not blight, is it?
Probably not. Okay. If it was blight, you will see those branch tips curl.
Okay.
The branch will be black. The leaves will be black. It'll be brittle. If the black leaves are still semi-leathery, it's more than likely a drainage issue, too much water. It's not probably going to kill the plant, but with the rain that's coming, it may take it a while to go green again.
Yeah, it's just too much water.
Yeah, I have two pears, and they are at opposite ends of my property, and I have that issue. One will get black leaves after a rain, the other one doesn't. Then the one that had leaves that were ugly turned green, then the other one gets black leaves because it's downhill, and it takes a while for the water to drain there. So I don't think it's blight. Grab a leaf. If it crumbles, if it's crunchy, you may want to start cutting some of those out. If the leaf is still supple and leathery, it's probably a water issue.
Okay. Okay. And I also sent you another picture. I've had that on almost every tomato plant. It's going down the row of tomato plants. It just looks like a melted mushroom.
Yep.
Is that all it is? Just some sort of fungus
mushroom? Yeah. It would not hurt if you take a second while you're checking your tomatoes to pull those out, just because.
Okay.
But I don't think it's deadly, and it's not going to affect the tomato that much. It is breaking down the organic matter that's in your soil. That's a good thing. It just looks ugly.
Yeah, it didn't look pretty at all. So.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think that was it for today.
Well, thanks for the call, Scott.
Thanks.
Yeah, folks, you're going to see mushrooms between the humidity, the fog, the rain, the temperatures. We're going to get mushrooms, lots of them. Just pick them up, pull them out, throw them away. Let's go to the phone. This is Brett. Brett, what can I help you with?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Is there any benefit at this point if I spread corn gluten on the ground to keep further weeds from coming up?
There is a weed that will germinate every day of the year in Texas. So, yes, you will still prevent some weeds. You're just not going to get the most bang for your buck as you would if you did this the end of February, the 1st of March.
Okay.
And it winds up being fertilizer anyway. So you will stop some weeds, and you're going to fertilize your turf. So kind of up to you.
Okay. Should I wait till after the storm comes? Will it be too much rain?
Yeah. It looks like Sunday is going to be really bad weather-wise. So Monday or later, we're supposed to get a few days in a row of dry weather. That might be a better time to put it down.
Okay. Okay. I will do that. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for the call. Yeah, folks, corn gluten, can you use it now? Yeah. Yeah. In Central Texas, every day of the year, there is some kind of weed seed that wants to germinate. Corn gluten is a pre-emergent. It stops weed seeds from germinating. So if I use it, I will get some pre-emergent herbicide benefit from it. The second half of it is corn gluten makes a nice turf fertilizer. So I'm getting some benefit from it. I'm not getting the maximum amount of benefit because that February-March time frame is when so many summer weeds start to germinate. And in the fall, that end of September, 1st of October time frame, that's when our spring weeds are germinating. If you use it now, you will be preventing some weed germination. You're just not going to get the maximum use out of the corn gluten. And it kind of can be expensive. So keep that in mind. All right. You want to use it, go right ahead. You will still get a benefit, but you won't get the max benefit out of it. Your turf will love it. It breaks down into a very good fertilizer. It's something that your grass will look great because of it. But you're not going to kill as many weeds as you may have wanted to using it. My wife and I, have discovered that we have become, how do I say this, an old rabbit's home. I have a ton of rabbits this year. We were looking out in the yard one day, and we counted 8 rabbits of all ages. Well, we have one rabbit, Bunny Bad Eye, who has one blind eye. And I swear he has a friend that stays with him, but he's doing great. He stays here in the yard. He feasts. He looks good, other than he's blind in one eye. In the other part of my yard, we have Bad Leg Bunny. It looks like when he was small, he twisted his leg, or he went to run through the chain link fence and caught his leg and dislocated it. He can still run, still jump, moves pretty good, and has learned that there are hiding places where nobody can get to him. He looks good too. We see him sprawled out in the sun lots of times. We must be some home for older bunnies or those that have disabilities. Kind of unusual. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, folks. You know, we're getting this rain, and the soil is staying moist for the most part. We get the rain, and it comes in sequences that keeps it wet. Now, we all know the problem with that, right? Whether you have a container or an in-ground plant, too much water can make the leaves pale. So with this next couple of days of rain, you're probably going to see the plant leaves fade on you. They can turn not quite as dark or deep of green as you may want, but it doesn't mean that the plant is dying. It does not mean that the plant has an issue. When there's too much water, some of the soil biology, which converts nutrients into forms that the plant can use, drown. They don't have enough oxygen to keep going. So suddenly you lose a biology that is necessary for the production of certain nutrients that make the leaves green. As we dry out, they'll come back. But it is usually too much water that is causing the issue with making the leaves yellow, especially container plants. Let's go to the phone. This is John. John, what can I help you with?
I'm here in Round Rock, but I have a property in Ohio, Ripley, Ohio, just out of Cincinnati, and I have a variety of fruit trees, orchard, and I just bought the property a year ago about this time, and the previous owner was talking about how much fruit these trees, it's apple, pear, cherry, peach, and this past year, these trees did not produce any fruit at all, not one of them, of the different varieties. Is that something calming? I know there's sometimes they don't necessarily produce fruit every year, but I was just curious because it's different types of fruit that nothing was produced.
Okay. Weather conditions there can make a big difference. I don't know what the weather conditions were there. Second, if you have a tree that produces fruit and it produces lots of fruit one year, let's say you've got more apples than you know what to do with, that can stress the tree out and it not produce the next year. Apple, pear, peaches, you let it produce too many on one year, the next year it will have fewer fruit. So Okay. You need to thin the trees. The local extension service will tell you, depending on the type of tree, how much and how to thin them. It's probably, I don't know, because we're talking about Ohio. You may still have time if you were there and you had the fruit that it would be worth thinning them to get a good harvest this year. But that's what may have happened. They literally overproduced, wore themselves out, and they need to take a break. So proper thin can improve your yield.
Okay. I don't, it just for, you know, it, the trees and the land or whatever is just, it's not necessarily there to produce. This is just something that was on the property. And so I'm not like looking to harvest anything other than maybe for my own use or to give out to friends. But again, it just didn't produce anything this year. And And the owner mentioned that it did, but was really surprised that none of the trees didn't produce any fruit at all. So,
well, we had such bizarre weather, even up there, not just here in Texas. And again, if he had a great year, but he had a great year without thinning those plants, they take a hit and they will hold off on their production the next year. They need to like recharge. So,
okay.
If they didn't produce this year, you should be looking for them next year.
Okay. So it can skip more than a year?
Sometimes. It depends on how big an impact it was. Plus, you have to factor in the weather. If it was conditions for growing fruit, great. If it wasn't, well, that was just one more strike against you. And if you add in that the year before they overproduced, yeah, it can take more than 1 year for them to recover.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Good luck, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, folks, it's time. If you have fruit on your trees, you need to look at going and thinning them. A lot of people will plant a peach. It'll be covered with fruit, and they're like, wow, look at all those peaches. And they all wind up being these rock-hard little green balls. They don't become those great big peaches. You got to thin the fruit to get good fruit. It is terrible because you may remove up to 40% of what's on the tree. And you just throw them away. But the ones that remain will be such better quality. Let's go to the phone. This is Wade. Wade, what can I help you with? Wade, I may have lost you. Sorry, Wade, you dropped there. You can give me a call back. Speaking of the fruit trees, I have plums this year. I have no idea where they came from. I actually have a lot of them. They're not very big. And they're not a situation where I need to thin them. But I have never had great luck with my plum trees. This year, plenty. I got a lot of plums. And I'm looking forward to them ripening. Now, my pear is having another one of its oh my gosh years. So I got to do some thinning out there, mostly to protect the branches from being overloaded by great big pears. It has a lot of them, and that's great. They're delicious. There are all kinds of things you can use pears for. You can eat. I have a pear that I can eat the pear fresh off the vine. That's the kind of fruit you want. I don't want where I got to cook it or sweeten it or something like that. I want to be able to just pick it and take a bite. They're crisp like an apple. Pears do not ripen on the tree. If you wait until the pear is soft to decide to pick it, that's too long. You pick the pear when it is the size, quality you want. And you bring it inside and you let it sit on the countertop, not in the fridge. Let it sit on a countertop. Put it in a paper bag or on newspapers. Over a period of time, usually about a week, maybe as many as 10 days, the pear will start to soften and sweeten. It'll be really, really tasty. It'll be that take a bite, the juice runs down your chin. You don't want to wait till you get that nice soft pear and leave the fruit on the vine. It will rot on you way too fast. So you pick a pear while it's still very hard. My pears normally ripen in August. Come August, I'll start looking to pick them. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I got to take a quick break for the bottom of the hour news. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, excuse me. Terrible, terrible weather. Suffering from it. If you have been looking outside in your garden, more than likely you're seeing a lot of white butterflies. Now, they're not all of them are pure white. There are a few. Some of them have different patterns on them in black. But this particular butterfly, its caterpillar is the cabbage loper. Yeah, the green inchworm, the one that really damages your crops, that chews up all your leaves on the plants. So if you are seeing them and they're fluttering away in your garden, this would be a good time to spray BT on your plants. That butterfly is going to lay eggs that become the caterpillar that's going to gnaw down your plants. About once a week is probably enough. You're going to want mix up the BT, spray it. You want to wet the leaves well. And every egg that hatches is going to take a bite. They're going to eat the BT. And it's going to kill them. And it won't take long for you to get ahead of any problems the caterpillars may be giving you. But that white butterfly, while it looks beautiful, yeah, it's eating your lettuce. It's eating your green beans. It's eating the kale, the cabbage, all of the greens that you have in there. It's enjoying right now. So that is an indicator. You start seeing that butterfly, that's telling you that, hey, son of a gun, I'm going to have caterpillars. And I need to get ahead of the game. And that's easy to do. That's truly easy to do. Be observant. That white caterpillar is a garden risk. Now, there are a lot of other butterflies that are hosting on garden weeds. They're not in your garden. They're attacking the weeds that we have here. They're eating those, great, but they're also laying their eggs on them. But they're not in your veggie garden. So remember, if you are treating for caterpillars, only treat what needs to be treated. You don't need to be spraying everything you got just because. Now, I have a Dutchman's pipe plant did really well the last couple of years. Was out looking at it, I don't know, a month ago. And I had this nice sprawling one, pretty leaves, looked great. I went out there last week. I couldn't find any trace of it. But I could find the caterpillar. A particular type, pipevine swallowtails, the caterpillar that makes the beautiful butterfly. They were crawling all over the ground. There was no plant left to eat. So that's okay, because 2 weeks from now, the pipevine will come back like nothing happened. That's the normal cycle. Those of you with passion flower vines, you're going to start seeing a dark color, red and orange and black caterpillar just attacking your passion flower vine. It's okay. It's okay. It becomes the Gulf fritillary or Juliet butterfly. They're quite beautiful. They're not a really big butterfly. I mean, they're not monarchs. They're not the big swallowtails. But they're bigger than the little itty bitty moths. And they have fantastic, fantastic color to them. They look really, really nice. Your passion flower vine is going to get eat up, but just for a little while. It'll grow back. That's one of the things about passion flower. It is an aggressive grower. So it will grow back and be ready for the next season. It'll still bloom this year. You'll still get bees that'll come to it. So don't, you know, make choices here. Gee, I'm going to lose a couple of passion flowers because they're going to eat it. But gee, I'm going to get lots and lots of these beautiful butterflies flying around. That's a fair trade. I don't know. I'll take that one. I do like passion flower flowers. They're beautiful. But it's not a big deal. I can go and let the caterpillars have some so that I can get the butterfly. Only spray what you want to protect. Don't just spray everything. Don't put it in a hose end sprayer and spray everywhere. Only spray the plants you're looking to protect, because too many of our plants host some of the most beautiful butterflies. And I would like to have the butterflies. The plants will survive. Just think about it. If the caterpillar always ate the plant till it died, well, we'd run out of caterpillars because there'd be no more of that plant and there'd be no more hosting of that butterfly. They'd wipe each other out. And for the most part, nature's smarter than that and won't let that happen. So don't encourage it. You don't have to spray everything. Only spray what you want to protect. Like your cabbage or your broccoli or your lettuce and spinach. Those kind of plants, we get it. We want to eat those. But you're not going to lose all your flowers because of a few caterpillars. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, everybody. Getting asked a good question here. If you're using BT, BT is a, you can find it under a lot of names. Safer Caterpillar Killer. Thuricide is another brand name. It is a bacteria, well, actually, it's a protein from a bacteria that when the caterpillar eats it, a caterpillar's stomach is alkaline, opposite of us. We're acidic. The bacteria protein will reproduce in that environment very, very rapidly to the point of basically exploding the stomach of the caterpillar. Can do it in as little as 12 hours. BT is very environmentally friendly, but what about the rain that's coming up? Ah, great question. First off, BT, when you spray the plant, if you spray from the underside of the leaf, you will get some protection to prevent the rain from washing it off. Number two, the BT proteins that you're spraying on the plant don't rinse off really super easy, meaning in the rain, they're still going to hang around. If you bring them in and intentionally rinse the leaf, you can get all the BT off. But out in nature, there's always going to be, especially on the underside of the leaves, because the rain won't wash that off. So if you spray, maybe you want to spray after the rain. And BT lasts between 5 and 7 days. It'll break down and be gone in that period of time. So maybe you spray once a week to make sure you're staying ahead of the problem. Let's go to the phone. This is Bob. Bob, what can I help you with?
Hi there, Jeff. I've got some Indian blankets, and they're all starting to lose their petals and the seed balls out there. What's the best time to pick the seed ball?
You know, you can give it just a little bit more time. You want them to, I don't want to say dry out, but if they just drop their last petal right now, maybe you wait a couple of days just so that you're sure they'll mature.
Okay. So a couple of days, a week till after it's dropped its petals. All right. Then the second thing is, when's the best time to spread those seeds? Would it be now or do I wait until October, November?
Well, if you think about it, nature is spreading those seeds right now, isn't she?
Yes.
So you could put them down now. Just don't expect them to germinate till spring.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for the call. Let's go to the phone. This is Wayne. Wayne, what can I help you with?
Hello. I heard you talking about BT one caller ago, I think, and I wanted to share my experience with it. I would spray it on about once a week, and then I have cabbages. And what I found was that I would still find some of the little caterpillars on there. So I started going out morning and evening, and I could pick off the little caterpillars, and then if I looked carefully on the bottom side of the leaf, which is where you were suggesting people spray the BT, you could actually find the little egg sacs, and you could slightly bend the leaf and peel them off. And mm-hmm. I peeled them off, and I kept one to make sure that was actually the worms or the caterpillars, and the rest of them I just smash. But I found that to be pretty effective because I could find one or two every day for a while, and now I'm down to maybe finding only one every once in a while.
Yeah. I agree with you, Wayne. For most of the caterpillars, if you're simply observant, you can figure out, oh, that's a caterpillar egg that I don't want. Squish, no more problem.
Right. I had a question about cabbages. I planted my cabbages from seed, and I guess I've only harvested cabbages once before. Of course, I harvested the head of cabbage. So how do you get the seeds?
Cabbage takes 2 years of growth. It's a biennial. So the first year it makes that cabbage head, next year it'll grow, and it'll produce a flower stalk. That's when you would get the seed.
Okay, that's assuming you can baby it through summer?
You betcha. That's the problem here.
Okay,
one
well,
of the problems
very,
here.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
Sure. Good luck.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Thank you for the call. Yeah, folks. Cabbage and beets and carrots and several of the other vegetables that we grow are biannuals. Takes 2 years of growth for them to produce seeds. Now, you will occasionally plant a seed and you'll have this one unique plant that'll be throwing up a flower stalk. That's just a freak. Normally, you won't find the flower stalks. They stand out. If you watch lettuce, it doesn't take any effort at all for lettuce to bolt, produce that flower, and you can collect the seeds from it. So you can plant the same lettuce every single year. Create your own particular lettuce crop that grows best in your garden. But some of the other plants, it can take years, a couple of years, for them to produce a seed. Is that worth your time and effort? I don't know. Is it? Is it something you want to attempt? Up to you. But it would explain why sometimes you plant something, it's like, well, I didn't get any seeds from it. That's because it needed another year to produce those seeds. It's not a bad thing. And there are plenty of people who really dedicate themselves to certain plants so that they get a specific variety that does what they expect it to do. They get the best crop they can. But that's why you may not be able to get seeds for some of your crops. Folks, this has been Gardening Naturally. It's going to get rainy, so be ready for it. But it looks like it's going to be a fairly decent gardening day. So head on out, and I will talk to you again tomorrow at 8 a.m.